Thank you all for coming. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 26. The 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And we'll read at verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, the Lord Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me, and they were sitting in the Son of God. He began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that putteth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said," which is equivalent to saying, "Yes, you are." Luke chapter 22. Matthew chapter 27, first of all. Matthew 27, and we'll read verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw him as condemned, he picked himself and brought him the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned, but I betray the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." He cast him the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went, and hanged himself. One more passage, Luke chapter 22. And we'll read verse 27. Verse 27 of Luke 22. "And while he yet stayed, behold the multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man for the kiss?" Tonight, for the first time of this awesome meeting, I want to preach the gospel simply on Judas. I want to just speak of four simple things about Judas. I want to speak first of all of his discipleship. Then second, his dishonesty. Third, his duplicity. And last of all, his destiny. Those four simple things about Judas. Now first of all, his discipleship. Judas shows clearly how far a person can go without ever genuinely being born again. He was with 11 possessors of eternal life, and he never ever had eternal life. He was one of the 12 apostles. And I'm convinced of this, that Judas did things that I've never done, that Judas performed miracles. And probably did. Because the Lord Jesus, he was one of the 12 who was sent out to do it, Matthew 10:8. He was one of the 12 that the Lord gave all to it. And see, he deceived all the other 11. And the way Mark and Matthew list the apostles, if you study them carefully, they can tell who prepared up and who would do. He sent them all 2 by 2. So according to the list of Mark and Matthew, he was with Simon the Zealot. And according to the 2 lists of Luke heads, he was with James the brother, Judas the brother of James. So sometimes he was with Simon the Zealot, sometimes with Judas the brother of James. And if he couldn't perform miracles, when the Lord Jesus said, "Why did you betray me?" Why, that one of those who was holding up said, "I guess Judas, he never performed a miracle." But no, they couldn't do it. Everyone said it's a lie. Why, the Lord's own words in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, all have set a lot of people to thinking that are taken up with a sensational, the spectacular. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, come and prophesy in thy name, and many cast out demons, And that's it. And I didn't have anyone who works. And like, because of them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, as it is, he said, verily, I say to you that one of you shall betray me. And they were seeing so awful. They began every one of them to say, Lord, this is mine. So not one of them suspected Judas. But then after a while, Judas actually said, Master, this is I. And the Lord said, thou hast said, which is equivalent to saying, yes, you are. Equivalent to answer this question, yes, you are. Notice, Judas never called him Lord. The others did. And he said, Master, this is I. So, his discipleship shows how far a person can go without ever being born again. When John Whitfield preached in Boston 200 years ago, 22 preachers got saved. Why, they were the long ways without being born again. Then what they found out they weren't. And they got really saved. They were humble enough to admit it. And they got really saved. One of the first things I ever spoke on this was at a Phoenix conference on a Friday night. At the Phoenix conference, there were 4 gospel meetings, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. Paul Wayne was there. Paul Wayne went a long ways. In fact, I don't know if anybody among us that went further than Paul Wayne. He was actually commended by one of the most conservative assemblies in the East of USA for about a year or so. So he went a long ways, for years. He knew he wasn't saved, he took on his profession, what the assembly. For years, he only came to one of those 4 gospel meetings. He was up Thursday night. When I got up to speak on Judas, he was up there Friday night too. He was up Sunday night. On Sunday night alone, at home, he got saved by the grace of God. And when we went down, our friend spoke on and said, those 3 meetings were devastating. He's surely that will save you more. And he's confidently saying, now. We went a long ways. That's why we don't have any off calls in our meetings. Because we don't do a thing to encourage false profession. I had gospel meetings in North Vancouver in 1958. The first series I had there for 14 years. Brother Kirby, he told me to one of those meetings, I'm pretty sure you might not appreciate it. He told me that one woman in America, he went to some 10 meetings in England, conducted by a Brother Wilson. And those meetings were well supported by the Christians, a lot of outsiders were there. But the most of the prominent Christians were trying to put pressure on them to make it easy for people to say the same by just raising the hand, or signing the card, or coming to the front. And he resisted the pressure. And they kept on increasing the pressure. So Brother Kirby said, I'll never forget when I made an announcement like this. He said, I appreciate all the Christians who support these meetings. I appreciate all the outsiders that come to these meetings. But some of the leading Christians who support these meetings have put pressure on me to make it easy for people to say the same. By raising the hand, signing the card, or coming to the front. And I have not. But tonight I'm going to explain why. I have a letter in my pocket. It's from my son in a hospital in France. My son professed to be saved when he was a little boy. There wasn't the evidence of divine life that I had hoped to see, but I hope he was really saved. But my son is written to me from a hospital in France, a former man in Europe. The sentence of the hospital is written to tell me, Jack, I know now that I was never, ever saved by the grace of God. He says that that bomb took my son into eternity. I had the hope of meeting him again. But according to my son's own words, I never meet him again. It's far too serious a business to do anything to encourage false profession. And I hope that God helps the remainder of the time I'm seeking on Judas so that everybody that's already saved will be refreshed. But anybody that's not saved They don't be exposed in Christ's presence to see what you really done. To see that you're only a sinner and you need Christ's salvation. You'll be realistic about any of that. Now, the next thing about Judas is this dishonesty. This dishonesty. Right, he was a thief. He was covering it up. John chapter 12, verse 9. He said, with indignation, why was not this rightly sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? John, many years later, John didn't know it at the time, but John, many years later, he said, because he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had a bag, and he there was what there in. So he was coming up sinning all the time. He succeeded in deceiving all the apostles. We never see the Lord. John 6 to 64. He knew from the beginning what was the chief aim. Why, you can deceive yourself. You can deceive your friends. You can deceive the Christians. You can deceive the preachers. You can even deceive the apostles if they're living there. But you can't prove all of it. The Lord knows everyone here that's really his. And he knows everyone here that isn't here. Why, Judas was his honesty was coming up sin. Numbers 23, verse 32, be sure your sin will find you out. Psalm 90, verse 8, thou sellest secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And I'm looking at some light of thy countenance. Then, Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth the sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. All should be anyone in his judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It doesn't do any good to try to hide your sin from God. He knows all about it. In Mexico City, a man stole a woman's nurse. And then to the nearest entryway, only to discover too late, it was entryway of this station. Then, thief escaping from the Walmart, ran into a church building. He didn't know very much about church buildings. He saw a rope, he didn't climb up the rope, only to fall down through by the very wires, by ringing the bell. And in Canada, a man had his custom-built radio store, so went out of his car. And that man advertised for another radio to replace that. And the first man to answer the ad was a man who stole his radio, trying to sell it to him. And in Rochester, New York, a man went to steal an alarm clock. And here he put it underneath his old coat, he went through the checkout. Right after he went through the checkout, the alarm went off. And in Palo Alto, California, a man was arrested and mine was only photographed as ordered by the FBI. And Glasgow, Scotland, a pickpocket, he went to try to set the teeth on a surgery box. There was 30 couples, but he opened up on two men. There was 30 policemen with the bodies from an excursion. And so it was 60 days in jail. Oh, friend, it doesn't do any good to cover up. Judas was trying to cover up. There was no one to go on. Even though it wasn't known to the apostles, there was no one to go on. There was no one to go on, Jesus. He was just honest, like we heard. He heard the great speech of God, the Lord Jesus. And he heard the Lord Jesus say, John 8, verse 34, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And he was committing sin, he was a servant of sin, a slave of stealing. And he heard how he deserved it. Verse 36, that the Son therefore shall make you free, if you free indeed. No one ever gets saved without being honest with God. No one. Have you ever been honest with God? Have you ever let the word of God undo you and uncover you and show you what you really are in the sight of God? Luke 8, verse 15, having a good ground available to the good, and a long sinner, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. We read in 7, 15, verse 2, blessed is the man to whom God appeared from iniquity. No servant, there is no God. Every person that knows a blessing of not having our iniquities and feet to them, there's no hypocrisy, there's no God, all their repentance to the Lord, the Christmas either. Chapter 1, verse 6, and the son is true. And he would pass. Well, he refuses to cross over sin. Or is more sham. And he was sham either. So what we're going to say about the cross of God, but what is sexual alliance? What is sexual deeds? What is sexual goodness? But not without the cross of God. When I had gospel meetings in St. John's, Newfoundland, in 1967, for 5 weeks, as I had out of different people's homes, and one day I got a shot, I found out that my horse, his unsaved names, had been caught by the police, took away from the home. But that was the biggest shock I got. The biggest shock I got was that I had already been in the homes of two other ex-liberals. You know, I think I've been in thousands of homes. There's only three ex-liberals that I know of. You all in St. John's, Newfoundland. But thank God the ones were gone. And they picked that kind of value because they're honest with God. But nothing here. But some people want to say they're honest. They don't want to say they don't want to say they They were just a sample of the horses of their mind. They're so honest that if the soldier could get them changed a $10 bill, they won't get a dollar, they'd bring back the other nine. But there's some people like that. They come to one cross for me like this, and makes them feel uncomfortable. And they never come back again, because I'm not honest with God. And no one gets saved while being honest with God. It's dishonesty. Now we want to speak of his duplicity. His duplicity. First of all, Judas put it into his heart to betray Christ. John 15, verse 2. And Satan put it into his heart to betray Christ, and Satan actually would love Judas at least 4 occasions. Because in Luke chapter 22, he loved them to make sure that he'd make a bargain with religious leaders. And then he apparently left them, but in John 13, verse 27, he involved them again to make sure that he'd carry on his verbal bargain. Now, I don't think I've ever preached anybody personally involved by Satan. Because it can only be one thing or one thing. But nevertheless, any unsaved person of a greater or less degree is a bondage to sin and Satan, mere subjection to the devil, is a terrible reality since the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Thank God for the gospel. Acts 26, verse 18, open man's eyes to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Is the gospel ever done after you? But for the dust for everybody that embraces it, it turns them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Don't let the devil cheat you out of God's salvation. Why he has his agents in any meaning like this. Luke 8, verse 12, to see the way the good secret of the word of God, lest you should believe and get saved. You read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, about lost what we hid. This isn't a little loss. No, the God of this world, and that's the devil, have blinded the minds of the people, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine into them. No wonder then, there's only a few relatives to get saved. Because the God of this world, the devil wants to blind your minds, wants to keep them blinded. He betrayed Christ with a kiss. He betrayed Christ with the token of love. The Lord Jesus is, had no hair on his head like the other speak. If the Lord Jesus had a hair on his head, Judas never needed to kiss him. He could have told him the one that's on the halo. That's the one, but it wasn't that simple. The one that kissed the same seed. According to Matthew's account in the account of Mark's gospel, he told him that the one that kissed the same seed, and then he kissed them much. He betrayed Christ with lots of kisses, with tokens of love. At this touching of what we read in Luke 22, when Judas blew near to kiss them, Judas betrayed Saul, the Son of Man, with a kiss. They did it. He betrayed Christ with a kiss. I want to ask, I hope everyone here will answer this question. In God's presence, the only answer to me, the answer before God, is there anyone here betraying Christ with a kiss? What do I mean by that? Is there anyone here pretending to be becoming holy and solely on Christ on the cross to take it to heaven, and all the time you're depending on some devotion or work of your own? There's a sense in which you're betraying Christ with a kiss, and the sooner you find out, the better. Because if you die without Christ, it's too late then to do anything about it. But if you find out that you're betraying Christ with a kiss, you do something about it right next to that. If you've never kissed Christ in reality, I hope you don't mind tonight. Psalm 2 as well. Kiss the Son, doesn't be angry, in the perishable way, for it's not his pillow for the Lord. I confess, I was saved a good many years before I actually found the words of kissing Christ. But the very night of its day, when I took it in for the first time, that Christ loved me enough to bear my sins in his own body on the tree. He loved me enough to shed his own precious blood on my sins. I could place away. How could I help it all? If anybody talked about kissing him, I could be sworn to be him out now. Kiss the Son, not to be angry, and you perish in the way, when it's not the skill for the Lord. I read this in a Sunday school paper. A Bible believer was visiting in the hospital. It was brought to his attention that there's a 14-year-old boy dying with no close friend relative with him. So the Bible believer went over to the 14-year-old boy, and he lifted his hand to pray to God that he might be guided to help present the gospel to him. He decided to place all his remarks around Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, doesn't be angry, and encourage him away, for his wrath is still available. And that must be told him what Christ has done, so it seems like you and me can be saved. And he prayed with the boy. Remember, we got back to the hospital the next night, got the sad news that boy had died just 1 hour later after his father died. Not made the believer sad because the boy hadn't made any profession of faith in Christ. But before he left the hospital, the nurse came over to him and told him, I was with that 14-year-old boy. You were talking with us and we knew. I was with him when he died. And the last thing he said was, tell that gentleman that kissed the Son. Thank God he kissed the Son in the last hour we did. It might have been the first hour that he ever heard the gospel. But think of how many times you've heard the gospel and you haven't kissed the Son yet. Kiss the Son, doesn't be angry and encourage him away, for his wrath is kindled for a little. In his duplicity, he stole Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And I want to ask everyone saying from here, what are you selling Christ for? You know, I said, I'm not selling Christ for anything. But why is it that you're not saved yet? What's it that's more important to you in getting more salvation? Mark 8:36, which old prophet Mary became a whole world and lose his own soul. I had lost beliefs. I lost the sins of greatness in any life. And I could have found like a say. He went across the east going on in the neighboring town. So being his buddy, I decided to go to them. I think the meetings were from in Norway. But they both drank a bottle of beer on the way over. And a few of the doctor place was packed. And they had sick men at work. And here the preacher was speaking on Judas. And we have to do the sum of Christ of the 30 pieces of silver. The very person he said was, some new men would sell Christ for a bottle of beer. And I think it's a fire. He thought his money must have told the preacher. And he said, no. And at the end of that evening, when this applied, he received the Lord Jesus as his own personal savior. And he lived to prove it. When I was over in England in 1977, I purposely wanted to go to the private chapel of Keble College in Oxford because of what I heard of Harold Sinton. Harold Sinton was admiring Holman Hunt's famous painting, Christ, the Light of the World. After he had invited for some time, in came a guy with some tourists. Because the guy said a lot of things about the painting, he finished up by saying, "You have sold for 5,000 pounds. And I said to him, "Step forward." He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that the real original of this painting was sold for 30 pieces of silver." After a moment's quietness, the crowd left, but they left with something to think about. Think of William Blaine's coin, 30 pieces of silver, for the long night of the day. 30 pieces of silver, only twice this day. But it was a piece of jagged of the Holy Ghost God, the great dominant temple, the price of the Savior's blood. 30 pieces of silver, laid in Spirit's hand. 30 pieces of silver, and the aim of an idea. Like a lamb that's left to slaughter, but the humble Son of God, at midnight, through heaven, was slaughtered then as well. 30 pieces of silver, burning with faith's grain. 30 pieces of silver, for all his harsh deeds. I sin and betray the godless, he cried with me the breath, and cast a down in the temple. And rush for madness death. 30 pieces of silver lay in the house of God. 30 pieces of silver, for it was a place of blood. And it's all for a place of bringing the stranger in, the gay, a place of the Lord Messiah, who lay in a borrowed grave. It may not be for silver, it may not be for gold, but still by tens of thousands, is this precious Savior's soul. Soul for godless pleasure, soul for selfish aim, soul for fleeting trifle, soul for engineering, soul for the man of science, soul for the seat of power, soul for the son of fortune, soul for pleasure's power, soul for the Christ of the Savior, soul when I remember God's life and sin, upon my soul question, shall he be soul by thee? Soul, O God of the moment, stifle his conscious voice. Soul, the weeping angel reports the awful choice. Soul, by the Christ of the Savior, for we all shall turn, but cancel yours forever, deep in the soul to burn. So much was duplicity, now last of all, his destiny. His destiny. In Matthew chapter 27, when Solomon is condemned, he brought again the 50 pieces of silver. I would take it that most likely, Judas thought, since Christ on many occasions had gone through a hostile battle with open heart, he probably thought, I can sound and Christ will miraculously or supernaturally escape and will still try to give a piece of silver. When he saw he was condemned, for Lord Jesus was making more attempt to escape. When he saw he was condemned, he brought down the 30 pieces of silver and said, "I've sinned and I've betrayed the innocent blood." They said, "What's that to us? See not to that." So he threw the 30 pieces down and he went out and hanged himself. What a woeful end! Who under the number of the child, what a child of beginning of an eternity of woe. For Judas, God in his word declares that sin is so terrible. That he's the only one who knows what sin really deserves. He tells us that it deserves eternal, conscious punishment and hell to make a fire forever. Judas heard the Lord Jesus preaching many times. He saw many of those Lord goals. He saw him responsible for the life that he rejected. And that principle still holds good. And I want to make everyone say, relative to God's people, they can use. The more clearly you know the gospel, the more responsible you are. And the soul will be the punishment if you die without Christ. I was preaching at work before I ever got saved. I wasn't preaching Christ because I didn't know him. But I was preaching about morality, about not smoking, not drinking, not carrying on with women. And I thought I got a kidney from it. Like another 19-year-old young man preached like that. But I'll give a lot of kidding, but the more they give me, the more I preach. Once I get saved, my preaching got converted. I got converted the very first week I was saved. I began preaching Christ. And at one hand, the name him, he heard me preaching well at the time. He never brought this question up there. But once I preached twice, he asked me, what about the hot and talk rapper you never heard? I didn't know what to say. Well, what about the hot and talk rapper you never heard? And I want to point this out to anybody living in Canada or the USA, with Bible so readily available. Will be 5 hours worse for them. But they don't know Christ in the hot and talk rapper you never have that privilege. But go further. Anyone who's been to a gospel meeting like this, will be 5 hours to you. Another city in Vancouver that have never had this privilege. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. That's so much news, Lord's will. And prepared on himself shall be beaten with many stripes. But he looked at different things. With his stripes should be beaten with few stripes because he knew not. How come I got a few stripes? Because he didn't know. And he said, when you know what God's will is, you want to go out with a to be saved. You have to prepare yourself. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, the mouth of dreams and exalted to heaven should be brought down to hell. For the one works which are done in thee, were done in Sodom, who were remained to this day. But I say unto you, be positive and know. I say unto you, that you are more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the same judgment than for thee. There is no record whatsoever that the people of Capernaum ever committed the immorality that was committed at Sodom. The Lord Jesus knew that if some of the works that have been done, that we have been done at Sodom, they would be hated sufficiently, so God would have destroyed them with fine bluestone out of heaven. So, was there more trouble for Sodom than those of Capernaum? What about Capernaum? That's where the Lord Jesus made his headquarters, of his own hometown, Nazareth, went to go on the mountain hill. So we often heard us speaking many times. They saw many of the miracles. They were more responsible. Mark chapter 14, verse 21. The Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man goeth and swimmeth him. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Hooter for that man. If he had never been born. Unsaved one of the men tonight. As I sit down, let me tell you kindly, but if you live to be 100, you're not going to live that long. But if you live to be 100, and truly every one of the 1,200 months you live, if you die without Christ, it will be just as true of you as it was true of Judas. Would it for that man or that woman if you've never been born? What's 100 years compared to eternity? Why, there were 31,536,000 seconds in every year, every other year. I'm saying, one, if you die the way you are, we hope you won't. And God doesn't want you to die that way, because I'm thinking you're dying that way. If you die without Christ, after you have been in the lake of fire, for 10 years, for every second that you're out there, 10 more years, every step you're going to take, 10 more years for me here in the heaven. 10 more years for me to solve all of my dream. And 10 more years for me to play presence of the globe. And 10 more years for me to set the sun and moon. And 10 more years for me to crawl the water and all the oceans of the world. And 10 more years for me to bring sin upon all the seashores of the world. And 10 more years for me to star in the sky and still can't cover them all. Eternity will just be done. I have my talents, I'm going to talk now. Right in Mount Vancouver in 1958, Mrs. Dennis told me about Mrs. Graydon. This is written right next door to the non-thankful Apostle Hall. In fact, they built Apostle Hall after she was in her own home. Somehow, Rama, she got the news that they're building a dance hall right next door to her home. And she was delighted. I can understand that some unsaid women would be a passionate form of dancing, but even so much, I think there'd be some dances they weren't invited to, and so the dancing would keep them away. But Peter has said she was delighted that they're building a dance hall right next door to her home. But before they finished, she found out the truth. It wasn't a dance hall, it was a gospel hall. And she was still as gone. But they built the gospel hall right next door to her home. And after they began meeting in the home, some of the sisters tried to befriend her. She was on the porch, or she was on the little garden. Mrs. Dennis is a kind sister, she tried harder to befriend her, but every time she did, she was rebuffed. And Mrs. Britton really befriended. But then when the late Mr. Walker were cracking up Cleveland, and the late Mr. Hector, so I have a boss of meetings there. There's a warm night, and all the windows and doors open, and they sang, "Will we say to our day, this question comes to you and me, someone shall answer me, where will you spend eternity?" And of course that question is asked over and over again. She can hear the words clearly. She decided she better go and find out about more about it. Thank God she got saved. And God's salvation always makes a change. But she'd get a kiss some of those sisters she'd been so loyal to. Mrs. Dennis wasn't there that night. And she heard about it. And she'd been thrown down and rebuffed so many times. Mrs. Dennis said, "I wrote that she could have a kiss me." And the next night she kissed her too. She was in the stomach for 17 years. And used to say she was thanked to God. It was a gospel hall right next door to her home. So she could hear clearly where we're spending eternity. But what with her? Just one thing with her. This eternity. And I hope we'll bring you too. I hope we'll have the same destiny as Judas for all eternity.